Today is Friday, January the 4th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today. This is your SMA News Today Daily Flash Briefing.
According to a single-center study in Italy, treating SMA with Spinraza through the spinal canal is feasible and leads to high patient compliance. This is as long as it's done under the supervision of an experienced multidisciplinary team. The study appeared in the journal Neurological Sciences, and it was called Intrathecal Nusinersen Treatment for SMA in a Dedicated Neuromuscular Clinic, an example of multidisciplinary and integrated care. Available evidence has shown that treatment with Biogen Spinraza via the spinal canal or intrathecal delivery is relatively safe and well-tolerated. This is despite some initial concerns over repeated injections. A single-center study from Germany reported the benefits of a structured protocol administering the treatment. In the study, Italian researchers also emphasized the importance of an adequately experienced team for the success of Spinraza programs across different centers. At a neuromuscular clinic in Milan called Neuromuscular Omniservice Clinical Center, or NEMO, they described their experience using Spinraza as a treatment for 50 patients with SMA types 1 to 3. All patients received 4 IT Spinraza injections within 2 months through what's called a loading phase. Then they had injections every 4 months in the maintenance phase. Routine laboratory tests, including blood clotting screening, were all conducted prior to treatment. The multidisciplinary team at NEMO includes neurologists, pulmonologists, a physiatrist, therapists, a nutritionist, nurses, and clinical psychologists. An anesthetist and a pediatrician were included during IT infusions for infants and older children. The Italian SMA Family Associations took care of transportation and lodging. They also provided consistent feedback on patients waiting for treatment who were on a priority list. This list was according to age and disease severity. Since Spinraza's approval, the organization has supported physicians and families to promote access at local sites. Of the 50 patients enrolled, 29 had SMA type 1 and received treatment within 6 months after Spinraza's approval. 6 of these SMA type 1 patients were newly diagnosed. The age of these patients ranged from 3 months to 15 years of age. The remaining 21 patients included 11 with SMA type 2, ranging from 1 to 17 years, and 10 had SMA type 3, and they ranged from 4 to 58 years. Starting in November 2017, national health regulatory authorities in Italy recommended that Spinraza be administered locally at certified sites. This was to help accessibility and reduce waiting lists. As a result, 12 of the patients with SMA type 1 were redirected to their regional sites. Prior to the first injection, a team consisting of a neurologist, a child neurologist, a psychologist, and a child therapist all met with the families and discussed the program. They also went over preliminary results from previous trials, including the risk-benefit ratio of multiple IT injections. Spinraza's safety profile and possible adverse effects from the spinal tap were also addressed. A dedicated psychologist was also available throughout the course of the treatment. The team and the families also discussed the need to maintain mandatory visits to assess motor, respiratory, and nutritional function. Plus, they wanted to monitor for scoliosis and other growth parameters. The researchers said the following, quote, "It was important for the team that the concept of cure was conceived by the families and the patients beyond the pharmacological treatment, and that patients understood how important it is to comply to the assessments and treatments," end quote. Some patients with SMA type 1 using ventilator-assisted breathing and had parents who refused this approach were only included in the program if the parents allowed non-invasive ventilation during the procedure. Specific body measures were assessed at the start of treatment, and at 15, 30, and 60 days, and then every 4 months during the treatment. These measures included patients' motor function, ulna length, weight, cranial, and thoracic circumferences. Patients were also video recorded and all underwent a spinal x-ray. Additionally, their oxygen saturation in the blood and CO2 level measured from the skin were also determined at the study's start and after 6 months of treatment. In children, the first injection was performed in a surgical setting by a pediatrician or a child neurologist and was in the presence of an anesthesiologist if needed. A respiratory physiotherapist as well as a neurologist helped with ventilation. Injections in adults were performed by a neurologist in an outpatient setting and in the presence of an anesthesiologist only if sedation was needed. Patients were then monitored by a child neurologist, therapists, and nurses. Patients, parents, and caregivers were instructed to take note of any occurrences. They were to inform the referral center of any clinical event occurring between injections. Communications were confirmed via regular telephone interviews. Any subsequent injections were usually confirmed 1 week prior to admission. Although 3 patients dropped out due to technical difficulties with the procedure, adherence and compliance to the treatment were high. No patients missed their scheduled injections. No patients showed any severe adverse events considered related to Spinraza. Only 3 experienced temporary elevations in body temperature, headache, and nausea. 2 had slight postural reddening and skin edema or swelling. 4 patients experienced clinically non-significant changes in heart rhythm after the loading phase. In addition, 3 adults experienced headache, nausea, and vomiting for 48 hours after the first injection. This was remedied by paracetamol. 10 patients had mild scoliosis, 4 had moderate, and 6 had severe. The injections were considered too burdensome in only 3 of these patients. The scientists concluded that, quote, "The experience with nusinersen at the NEMO Center is that the treatment is feasible, accessible, and replicable. This is provided that there is a multidisciplinary team having experience and training in SMA." End quote.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today community editor Kevin Schaefer.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, December 18th, 2018. 2 years ago, I had just graduated from college, and I found myself filled with uncertainty about my future. As a physically disabled 23-year-old on Social Security with an English degree, even I joked about the likelihood of facing unemployment and being forced into academia for the rest of my life. My fierce determination to remain poor continued when I spent the first couple months after graduation working on comic book scripts and freelance writing for some nonprofit organizations. Whereas I was a pretty good student in college and made a name for myself as a writer and editor for the student newspaper, I was now facing the crippling pressures of the real world. Still, even with all of the uncertainty that surrounded me, I actually stayed strikingly calm during this initial post-graduation phase. After 4.5 years of juggling classes, coordinating interviews and writing articles, long production nights in the newspaper office, small group meetings with my InterVarsity Christian Fellowship crew, hiring caregivers, and trying to manage my health, I was ready for a break. I spent months without full-time work, reading memoirs, graphic novels, and anything else interesting, hanging at my local comic shop and at conventions, writing and blogging as much as I could, and watching my newborn niece grow up. I also fell and broke my leg at a medical conference in April 2017. But what's life without a little chaos and adventure? Now here I am, a full-time employee at BioNews Services. Every day, I strive to amplify patient voices in various disease communities, produce multimedia content that informs and entertains, and connect with people in the SMA community in our forums. Not only am I able to use skills that I honed in my college years, but also I know that the work I'm doing is making a difference. If someone had told me when I was in high school, or even when I entered college, that I would wind up writing openly about my life with SMA every week and working as a patient advocate, I would have said that person was crazy. A job like this was never in my original plan. My original plan consisted of more realistic goals, like writing the next Star Wars movie, becoming an acclaimed comic book creator, and eventually marrying Daisy Ridley. Despite not living the life I originally intended to have, I'm glad. My reality is better. Every day, my relationships with people in rare disease communities uplift me. We connect, share experiences, and ask each other for guidance. I get to write and record podcasts for work. I have an insane caregiver with an overtly politically incorrect sense of humor who has stuck with me for the past 4.5 years. And no matter how much we drive each other crazy, we are brothers through and through. All of this to say that I am beyond grateful for where I am in life, for what lies ahead of me, and for all of you who read my silly columns each week. I especially want to thank you all for sticking with me after I merged my periodic poop jokes into a full-blown diarrhea column a few months ago. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director.